Give God a clap offering, a great big old clap offering. Amen. Amen. I don't know what that said. Anyway, it looked like 10 o'clock to me, and I don't think it's 10 yet. Amen. Nor midnight. God is good, and his mercy endureth forever, right? Oh, it's so good. Let me find something. You may be seated just right away, okay? Because I tell you, I see that every page was written on, so I'm going to have to start over. But where are we going, Lord? I'm drunk. I tell you, I've been on drunk all day. Hallelujah. And you're going to have layover. What is it? No, they don't say layover. They say hangover, don't they? I'm trying to find something that I want. We have all of you, dear sweet people, from Georgetown. Raise your hands and let's see who's from where. Okay, Georgetown. Uh-huh. And so that's good. And then we have Rebecca and David from Cincinnati. What? Somewhere, she said. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then let's see. We have Dino and Julie. What is that place? Jackson, Kentucky. And I'm going to find what I just know that I'm going to start with that. I'm going to pray, I think. But then I've got to find what I thought I had at my fingertips. And this is really for all of us, but it's just something that I can't get away from that has blessed me. So wherever it is, Lord, oh, there it is. I saw it just now. Okay. But I'll dedicate this also to Dino, and he knows why when I start doing it. And you'll be blessed. God is doing great and mighty things. There's never a dull day, right? There's never a day that the Son of Righteousness doesn't shine. Amen? And he spoke to me even as I was sitting there, and it was Malachi chapter 4. You're going to run from the stalls, any kind of bondage that has held you back, hindered you, bound you up, generational, whatever. You are going to be like a well-fed calf, leaving the stall of bondage tonight. Can you shout amen if you haven't already? You're going to do it more. And you're going to frolic and play like you never have before. We've had enough days of mourning. Amen. M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And that's, I tell you, our mourning, what is it, does he say, will turn unto joy or something in the morning. So it's morning, says M-O-R-N-I-N-G. And the Son of Righteousness is rising upon us with healing in his wings. Father, we thank you that as our days are, so shall our strength be, and so is our strength. For in Jesus, the best is yet to come. And we're going to have a strength to keep up with the Holy Ghost, and he is our strengthener. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We could go on and on and on. But Lord God Almighty, we are going to have a new strength for the days that are upon us, for your kingdom glory, and to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, that it is true. We ain't seen nothing yet. In Jesus, the best is yet to come. And I thank you for your anointing, because you spoke to me, because I realized so much, so much. Pastor Jack is crying out so much for you to do this night. And I was praying and praying and waiting on you, and you just spoke these words to me. Don't ever forget it. It is not by might, it is not by my power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts, armies, and warfare. So, Lord, we turn this over to you and thank you that we will, it's going to be beyond anything that we expected or imagined or thought, because glory is going to fill this church as never before. Glory is going to fill every home and every family, every life, as it never has before after tonight. Not because Baba Jean is here, but because Holy Spirit is here. And the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And that blood is power and strength forevermore. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God gave a mighty, mighty word for 2017. He gave that word on November the 8th. But it started off, and I don't have it right before me, it started off that 2017 would be the year of God's greatness revealed. And I can tell you before the Lord that every day of my life in 2017, there has been more and more and more greatness of Almighty God revealed. We're in a time and a season of great opportunity. And as came out of my mouth today in the House of Representatives here, it's not only a time of opportunity. It's not only a time of, you know, promotion coming from the north instead of the southeast or the west, promotion coming from Almighty God, right? It's just a time. But not only is it that kind of time, it is a great time of responsibility. Amen. Time of responsibility. January the 1st, I went to Renz, Georgia by invitation. Renz is not a large place. And I had been there in 1976. And that's really before I went into full-time ministry. But a couple from Tekoa that Mother knew, that dear couple was sent to Renz, Georgia under a denominational church, leadership assembly, and so forth. And I went, and that Renz, Georgia at that time was poverty, just poverty, poverty, poverty. And they put me in the home of a dear, sweet, wonderful little lady. I'm sure she's gone on to be with the Lord many years now. But a spirit of poverty just prevailed, not only in the city, but in the homes and the lives of the people. And where there's a spirit of poverty, you'll find people accumulate. They never give anything away. It's, you know, they just, it's what you've seen, and maybe sometimes on television, even if surfing, if nothing else. But you see the hoarders, I believe it's called, where people just hoard things and don't give away things. And this dear woman lived in a housing project. And God is so good, you know. And so she put me in a room that honestly I could hardly get into it because of things in the way and so forth. But it was July, no air conditioning, and very, very hot in Renz, Georgia. And it was a feather mattress that I was sleeping on. And I don't know if you know what a feather mattress is or not. But it's just sort of, you know, it's perfect for the wintertime. Yeah, because it just covers all over you, you know. And all I did, my sweet brothers and sisters, I would pray in the Holy Ghost. I just cannot imagine since September the 21st, 1969, how anybody could live the life of a Christian without the baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts, they got them saved, and the next thing they did, without stopping, they got them baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it is truly not by might nor by power, and the more Holy Spirit you have, the more love is shed abroad in your heart, and the list goes on, right? The Holy Spirit is our strengthener, our standby, da-da-da-da-da, amen. So anyway, one of those days, as I was praying in the Holy Ghost on that feather bed, and I could smell, she was cooking something in grease that smelled like, you know, it may have been cooked in for 100 times. You understand that, because that's all she had. And as I lay there and I prayed in tongues, I had a vision. And this was July the 16th, I believe, did I say, and 13th, in 1976. And in that vision, the Lord and I were standing before a bank vault in a bank. And he said to me, as we stopped there, and he said, you know, I had the vision of really as he talked, but he said, how do you get into that bank vault and get all of that money or all of that gold or whatever is there? And I said, well, you have to have the combination. 76, before I even went into the word of faith, quote unquote. And he said, when you have the combination, it doesn't matter if you're going after all that I was seeing in that prosperity level, that magnitude of all of those riches in there. But then it was empty, and I saw one copper penny laying on a shelf. And he says, it doesn't matter if you're going after the penny or if you're going after this much, much wealth. It takes the combination. And that's when he really began to teach me about the laws of faith. And the word and faith and obedience and willingness to Almighty God is what the combination is to get into the wealth of Almighty God. And as just in the last 2 weeks, I've begun to say, because I saw Jesse say it, and he's at a minister's conference, and God put me back in those DVDs. I think it was 2014 or something like that, and I had attended. But anyway, and he said, we've yielded to the anointing for salvation. We're born again, right? And we've yielded to the anointing to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, right? And as we say yield, we mean willing. We receive that, you know. And he said, Jesse Duplantis is who I'm talking about. He said, we've yielded to the anointing of healings and miracles. But he said, we have not yielded to the anointing of wealth. Come on now. And when he said that, I said, I repented. And then I said, I yield to the anointing of wealth. Because there's a price to pay. People don't understand it. When you begin to walk in these blessings of God, and, you know, they don't understand how we can do that. They don't like us, but they wish they had it, but they don't want to do what we do. Amen. Right. So anyway, back to the bank vault. I don't know what year it was, 2 or 3, 4 years ago. I was ministering in a conference, and then I had been detained outside the building. And when I walked in, I didn't come in the front because I was ministering, and actually I was on the front row along with some others. But I came in the hall and went to the back and walked to the front. And about the time I did that, when I first walked in, I saw like half of this middle section. Everybody was in a red some kind of shirt. And I naturally knew that it was, you know, I just assumed that they're from the same place and everybody's worn this red shirt or whatever. And so then the pastor, and see, we as ministers, especially in the prophet office, we minister, but we can afford to remember what God has said through us way back yonder, because we are looking forward and looking to the present. Understand what I'm trying to say? So anyway, and he was saying, you know, had them all to stand up. And later I learned what had happened. The one that was the pastor was, well, she turned out to be an apostle. She was a woman. And what had happened, oh, glory, if I can speak English, and I will. But that woman, she and her husband had been pastors, he was, of the First Baptist Church in that town. And then they both received the baptism in the Holy Spirit in the 80s. And so they were no longer welcome in the city or the little city of the city or in the Baptist denomination. Sorry about it, but that's just a fact of it. And so they went to Europe for 10 years. And while they were in Europe, this flip-flop happened that God said she is the apostle and he's just the pastor supporting her and running around. So that's their, whatever. But anyway, this woman has such a vision. I mean, just all the time some vision is coming up. And, you know, Proverbs 29:18 says, if we don't have a vision, if we don't have a plan out there before us, if we don't have a cause, then we lose control. We get wild and we just run here and there and the other. We've got to focus in. What does God want me to do? Not what does he want me to do like them, but what does God want me to do? Because each and every one that is born again in the body of Christ, especially those baptized in the Holy Ghost, God has an assignment on your life. And I believe with all of my heart, now is the time that God is bringing these forth in the body of Christ. We ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. So I naturally just about had a fit because I'd not thought of Rents, Georgia since I was there in 76. And this was 2 or 3 years ago before. And so naturally I wanted to meet the woman. Well, she started inviting me there. And so what has happened, there's a whole block of buildings and that church has bought every building except one. And it's a law firm. But then she's calling me, and she's talking to me this year and so forth, and I'll go back to January the 1st. She's telling me, they showed it to my son and I when we were there, January the 1st. They're moving to the next block and have bought that building. Can you shout amen? I love these visions. I love these yielding to God, being willing and obedient what he wants us to do. Amen. But she said, tell me again. She wanted, no, they wanted me to write it out, the vision of the bank vault. And so that building that they just bought across the street, it was a bank, and the old bank vault is still in the building. Can you shout amen? Yes. And she said what she was calling me for. She was saying, should I leave the bank vault in that building? Because they're building an educational center in that block. Hallelujah. I said, well, it seems to me it ought to stay. What about y'all? If it stayed this long, let's let it be. Just standing there showing what our God can do. If nothing is impossible with him, if we'll just step out in the anointing that God has placed upon us. And that is where I'm going to end up about the anointing. But this is where it begins for Dino. Praise God. And if you don't know why, that's all right. I'm not going to tell you why, but we know why. But January the 1st, listen, God orders our steps and directs our path, and we plant seed and go on. One plants the seed, one waters, but Almighty God is the one, and y'all are welcome to. Almighty God absolutely gives the increase. There's nothing we can do about the increase. I can plant a seed in the whatever, but it's not up to me to make that seed come up. Of course, I've got to attend to it. Would that tell you and me that we have to attend to the Word of God, that we have to attend to the prophetic vision that God gives us? We've got a responsibility to do something. Yeah. And we were discussing that. So many people think when you prophesy and, that's it, it's going to come to pass. Whatever they do. But I've got news for you. No prophecy is ever going to come to pass without prayer, willingness, and obedience. Can you shout amen? God says, I've spoken. This is my will for your life. This is what I want to happen to you. But you're going to have to put some action with the faith or the word, and you're going to have to make sure that you do what I know you can do. Actually, it is like a test. It's like an examination. nation are getting ready. We have to obey in every day, every small and little thing to the will and person of Almighty God. And then He can give us more and more and more. He can trust us with more and more and more. And that time is upon us. Jesus was the apostle, the high priest. Come on. Prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That anointing is on you whether you is one or not. You are still under the anointing of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher because Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Woo! So, I went. Oh, my sweet people. It is no credit to Baba Jean, none. But people have said many times, why don't you write a book about your experiences? And inside I say, Lord, I just don't have time to write all those volumes. Come on now. But let's get back to January the 1st of this year, 2017. Because I believe with all of my heart what happened there was a witness, was a power of agreement, a testimony that what I had seen for 2017, it has happened already, but it's just going to be beyond. We've just got to follow Jesus. We've got to follow the Holy Spirit. We have to know that we know they're ordering our steps and directing our path and follow Jesus. You know, Paul said it. He said, follow me as I follow Jesus. And you know, sweet people, we're not mean or ugly, but if somebody stops following Jesus that we have followed, I'll just tell you the truth, I'm not going to follow him in that path, all right? I think it was Mike on one of our transportation things or something and all of this, and this time, and he said that he was following a car, and the car went up on the median, so he just followed him up on the median until he realized what he had done. Well, that was wrong. That was not good for the vehicle. Neither was it good for them. I'm sure Joy was, quote unquote, fighting fear. Amen. Hallelujah. No, she didn't say that. I did. But January the 1st, as Dan and I went, I just knew all the way down there that this was going to be a pattern that was going to increase and increase and increase for the year. So, this man was visiting, he and his brother, from another city in Georgia. So he came up, and this is what he told me. He was a big man, about your height, really. And he said, when I was at Novel Hayes's, ministering there for him, I don't even know, I can't tell you when it was. We need the Holy Ghost. But I had a word of knowledge. And what that word of knowledge had to do with was that I saw like a steel band around somebody's head. And he said he came up after he told me the story. I did remember. And when he stood before me, he said that he heard the chains around his head pop and start to fall off of him and fell down around his feet. He was bound in chains. And do you know, he said, he had just gotten out of prison when he came to that meeting at Novel Hayes. You see, God's love knows no limit. God knows how to order our steps and get us where he wants to get us. And the timing is everything. If I've learned anything, timing is everything, right? It's not in our time, but it's when God's time, when he knows that time is good. And he says he had just gotten out of prison. And he was in that meeting. And he said, with that popping of the chains and everything and so forth, I prayed for him, laid hands on him or whatever. His name is Newman. Let's see, what is the middle name? Oh, Newman Clark Smith. And he was so proud. He was America's most wanted criminal at one time. That's what the United, I'm not United, but the Constitution of Atlanta newspaper says. And he gave me this little plastic thing here about it. And God had that most wanted, but he said he did meet Jesus in the prison. And I've heard that testimony from California all the way across north, south, east, and west. Sometimes saints and prayed for mamas and grandmamas and aunts and what, that somebody in the family, a boy or, you know, young man, a young woman, has been put in prison. But sometimes God knows I can't get to them any other way. Trust me. Amen. So just like him. And his name is Newman Clark Smith. And boy, I know he said it more than once. Now, my name is New Man. Do you notice that he said? Do you see that? New Man. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Amen. I'm just going to talk to you. I've got lots to say, but I'm just going to talk to you. Do you know that I've traveled to almost 50 nations? And America, I've said it before many times, America, the people in America have more problems with rejection than all of those other nations put together. Come on now. I'm not as good as somebody else. I can't do this. I can't do that. And Proverbs 23:7, I read it again today because it's the 23rd today. And I try to do that, read the Proverbs and five Psalms every day. And it says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Competition, comparison has got to go. What's wrong with the body of Christ? I read just a little note that I'd written over something. I don't even know if I'm going to get to that one or not, but I read over this teaching, some teaching in that book up there, that journal. And God said to me this year, set my people free. Honey, we're not talking about salvation. We're not talking about being born again. We're talking about members of the body of Christ that don't know who they are in Him. Amen. And they are still looking at themselves as the old man, not the new man, not the new creation in Christ Jesus. That's where the rejection is. That's what's happening in the body of Christ, causing people to get up and go when they're not able to perform like they think others are performing. And they give up. It's Christ in us, saints. Nothing is possible without God. But there is nothing impossible with God. That doesn't just mean God can do everything, but it means as we are with Him. And this takes relationship. It takes fellowship. It takes Bible reading. It takes getting off of your royal bottom. Come on. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the atmosphere right now. And just absolutely turning that tube off. Come on now, brothers and sisters. Taking a fast. Come on. Are y'all here for the day? I'm not listening to nothing that is going to be contrary to the will of Almighty God. I'm going to grow in Him today. I'm going to grow in faith today and grow in grace today, y'all. But we've got to do that because God has great assignments for us. And we've got to know who we are individually and stop trying to figure everybody else out. You'll never do it. God's the only one that can figure out anybody. Amen? You don't even know how to figure yourself out. So how could you say, I'm going to figure them out? You know? And we've got to obey God. Does it cost something? Yes, it costs something. I've lived it. I live it today. It costs something. And the problem is, people are not willing to make a sacrifice and pay the price. But if we're going to go forward in this 2017 of God's greatness revealed, we have got to lay. David said it last night. Weren't you there? No, it was the other night, whatever night it was. And David Redding over there, Dr. Callahan's son-in-law, he said, all God wants is our all. All God wants is our all. You see, we couldn't get born again. It took God to get us born again, right? It took God to get us to the place where we wanted to speak in tongues. Y'all know what I'm saying? Wanted to hide and get away from all that had held us back. And that's the way the journey is, step by step, day by day, to go on with Almighty God. We've got to be willing. It's relationship. That's the root of it all. You know what? And it's time that we examine some of our natural relationships. I'm not talking about divorce between a husband and wife. God forbid that. But it's time that we find out who's dragging us down. Who's pulling us down. Who is, when we're trying to live a life of positive faith in God, and somebody's all the time just da 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 da. Listen here, our ears are not a pig trough. Can you shout amen? Amen. We can love people, but what is it that makes us think we have to have close fellowship with them? Saints, are y'all hearing what I'm saying? We have to love them. God said, love them. Hallelujah. He loves them, but that doesn't mean he loves everybody's actions. And we've got to learn that confidence in ourselves. I'm preaching better than you're shouting tonight. I'm liking what Bobby Jean's saying. I'm listening to her. Amen. Can you shout amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But we're going somewhere. But we've sat on our royals long enough waiting for God to do something. It's time for us to do something. Amen. Can you shout amen? Amen? What is it? Heaven and earth belongs to God. But he says later, he's given it to the children of men. And it's not God's fault. It's his world, da, 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 da. And I know you don't want me to get into politics. But we're not going to be, like you said, we're not going to be found to be fighting against God when God has put the man in charge of the president of the United States. Come on now. And we're going to support him and we're going to pray for him. Come on now, like it or not. Hallelujah. If he makes a mistake, we're not going to talk about him. We're going to pray in the Holy Ghost for him. And ask for God to give him wisdom and knowledge and understanding, which I prayed for those representatives today that came out. And before I went up there, they call it the well, you know, you go up, da, da, da. I said, Lord, what do you want to pray? You speak through me. You give me your heart. I don't want to talk. You pray. You say. And it was awesome, Jack. Patty, I wish y'all had been there. It was glorious. You know when you do good and when you don't do good. You know when you try to do something and you didn't succeed. But when you know God did something and you did succeed, you're proud of it. You're not in pride about it. You're just proud and humble that God could use you. Well, this is about new man. Hallelujah. So I can put it up now. I don't know about y'all. I got to get a flight out here tomorrow. Oh, I just saw that something is sizzling in the place tonight. I think God's fire sizzling. Woo, glory. Hallelujah. These are my $6 Walmart glasses. The lights are not just right. I put that on to see, but I don't know if I can see. All right. Are you ready? Whew. What is the message going to be? I'm glad you ask. And I feel the if I feel the anointing going. Oh, it was January the 13th that God said, "Set them free." Three explanation points. And you know that you can't do something for somebody else that you don't get more of it yourself. So, the title of this is Living in the Anointing. That's why I have perfect vision, except when the lights are not right. Can you shout at me? Huh? No, we don't need anything. It's just me. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. Okay. Maybe I'll do better with that one. The title of the message is Living in the Anointing. When you live in the anointing, baby, you've got the victory. No matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, you are triumphing. You are overcoming. You've got the victory, the anointing. So I'm going to minister on the anointing. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Sunday morning he started and he did the ministry on the word. I know, Holy Spirit, which you can't teach on that without the word. But he says here, for all, say all, the promises of God in him, meaning Christ Jesus, are yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Isn't that beautiful? Jesus is not getting the credit or whatever for this. We are doing it so Jesus can be glorified, who is glorified, John 16, by the person of the Holy Spirit. That's his primary ministry, is to glorify Jesus Christ. But you know, in Hebrews 10:7, it's just written, Jesus said, you needed a body to work through, and I became that body. Well, we are the body that he works through today, that he can put all of that anointing and all of this word and blessings in us, the glory, and he can put it in us, and then it is as we speak and as we act, as we believe, as we whatever, then I tell you, it's to the glory of God by us. Every moment of our lives, sister and brothers, but we all fallen short of that for sure, Romans 3, but every moment of our lives should be to the glory of God. Something should be spoken or something is happening. You know, I did the Power of the Secret Place and wrote the book. I think it was 91. I was writing Spoiling Python Schemes. And Suzanne, he and Benny's wife, spoke at our conference in Atlanta. And she said, you can't write that book first. You have to write Power of the Secret Place. And we gave her an honorarium offering, and she gave it right back and put it in the book. Well, the book was written, Power of the Secret Place. I don't know how I got on there, tell you the truth, but it's done and it is by us. So 21 says, now he which established us with you in Christ, see, it's in Christ. Let us get it. And hath anointed. See, that's the issue. He has anointed. Oh, Bobby Jean, I'm not anointed. It's for the pastor of the pulpit or the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher, so forth. I'm not anointed. Then that's, you're just speaking contrary to the word. Right here he says, you are anointed. Tell your neighbor, I am anointed. But the problem has been, we're trying to compare each other with each other. And what each other has is a gift that is without repentance, right? And a calling and an anointing, a grace, if you please. It says he gives a measure of grace, Galatians 4:7, I believe, that is, each person is unique. We're talking about the anointing. See, the anointing, yes, it destroys the yoke. It annihilates, it rots the yoke. That's what it literally means in the Hebrew. It doesn't just destroy it, put it, breaks it, you know, break it somewhere. It literally rots it. it literally destroys it, and it literally annihilates it. To my understanding, annihilate baby means it's no more. It's not even a grease mark. Can y'all shout amen? So it's the anointing. It's the anointing. And you see, that's a step higher. Step higher. And as I prayed today, God speaking through me at that House of Representatives, one thing he said, give each and every one of us, raise up in the ladder to the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know it says, and the spirit of understanding. Well, I'm telling you, I don't want you to go out of here tonight with the same measure of anointing that you came in with. I want it to be activated and set you free and set you on fire. Can you shout amen? Not lukewarm. God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth if you come before me cold or lukewarm, right? So we got to get on fire for the Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Well, I'm preaching better than you're shouting, but that's okay. Okay. Wait a minute. Let's see if I can see it. I don't know. Just forgive me. Excuse me. I'm not going to say it anymore. But who has anointed you is God Almighty. Who has anointed you is God Almighty. Who has anointed us is God. What? Then if we say we're not anointed, then we're just telling God he doesn't know what he's doing. Right? That he hasn't done what he should do. Say, I receive the anointing tonight. Well, I guess I'm yielding to the anointing that I am anointed. Is that right? And then, who has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts? You can't separate the Holy Spirit and the anointing of God. The more Holy Spirit we yield to and have, the more anointing we're going to have. But now let's dwell on this fact just a minute. The anointing has a different operation in every person. Samuel killed a lion because his anointing was to be anointed with strength, right? Thank God, I love it too. I love strength. Amen. When I was at Rhema, everybody that prayed, they wanted to pray for me. And every time somebody prayed for me, it still goes on. But they prayed that God would give me strength. And I told God, it started in the second year, and I said, the Lord, I must be the weakest person in the world for them to be praying all the time for me to have strength. But I need it, so give me strength. I love him. Benny Hinn, I ministered on the platform for him, he called me up to pray. That was in Birmingham, England, in 1984, I believe. And he told Suzanne, she told me, Suzanne said, well, I just don't understand that woman's strength. I do. Can you shout it? God strengthens me. Hallelujah. He strengthens you. And moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul. Now, that's where your emotions are. If you allow it, that's where offenses will house themselves. All kind of things. It's really true. What's wrong with us? it's in the soul, the root is. Mighty quiet in this place. Are y'all here? I came not as yet into Corinth, but he said, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but our helpers of your joy. For by faith you stand. Wait a minute. See the two so close together? Joy and standing. You know, Pastor Jack, I woke up this morning with just the peace. The words came like this, peace and joy. And it's been with me all day. Come on. Peace and joy. Jesus Christ says, I give you my peace. not as the world giveth, but peace that will be even beyond understanding, right? Right? But my peace. Well, we can't see Jesus going around razzle-tazzle and all upset about everything, right? Uh-uh. He was authority supreme. He was power, you know, beyond anything we can imagine. That's our Lord, our King, our Savior. And then the joy of the Lord is our what? Well, is that why some people are so weak? They don't have the joy. They have the joy because it's the spirit of joy. But you have to do something. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, you know, talking about the fire, the gift, says stir up the gift that you've received through the laying on of hands. But when you get into the translations and the Greek of all of that, you find out that that's the fire, and that one translation says, What did I say about that? But you stir up that. You rekindle the fire. You keep the fire going. Guatemala City, I ministered at a church for many years. And they had, I had ministered on fire. And that you can start in Leviticus chapter 6 and verse 12. The fire never went out on the altar. That was a command of God, that the fire was never to go out on the altar. And so the fire of the Holy Ghost, there's seven symbols of the Holy Spirit, seven spirits of God. In other words, they represent what he will do, what actions he will take and do and so forth. And one of them is fire. And so to me, all of that means, and the bottom root of it, is if we get an overdose of the Holy Spirit, we're going to be on fire. If we stay that full of the Holy Spirit, we're going to overflow with these things, right? Huh. Oh, boy. Okay, so joy and peace. And I real shocked myself when I went over this. And I had put at, as the very last thing, page 5 is all I had written about it. And so I had put, and this was January 13th, remember, the last words were, number 4, if you're going to walk in, live in the anointing, is action as if it is done. Number 5 is peace and joy. So what am I saying to Bobby Jean and to the rest of us? We have crossed over. God told me that supernaturally this week. You're going to cross over. Well, I'm going to declare tonight. What is this, January 23rd? No, February 23rd, 2017. We have crossed over. And we're crossing over into that river of joy and that river of peace. And we're going to know that we know that we know where it comes from. So we're going to stir up that spirit of joy. Amen? We're going to stir up that spirit of rest and peace, right? Because when you have peace, you have rest. And you have rest and peace when you know that God's heard your prayers and he's answered them and they're on the way, 1 John 5:14 and 15, regardless of whether you can see it or not. Because you know and I know that we've prayed for many, many people and they are still living like the devil. Come on. But we've prayed and now we thank God. I mean, you've prayed so long and then you just run out of it, right? So from that moment on, you just praise God, it's done. Can you shout amen? Amen. And you just wait until it manifests. Amen. Hallelujah. And you love them. Oh, Lord. You love them. And you do. I've been through it. You love them. You know, you just love, right? Y'all are mighty quiet, but anyway, we'll get through it. Can you shout amen? Hallelujah. But let's go back over here. All right. Let's go to Hebrews. Now, we're talking about living in the anointing, right? Is that right? What time does it start? I think I've gone over an hour. I love you. Oh, I'll tell you the truth. What time did I start? Nobody knows. I bet somebody knows. You be the one that walks out first. Hallelujah. Then I know we've reached that. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Hebrews chapter 5. Have you found it? Okay. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. This is powerful, the scripture. Ooh, I'm going to have to do something because I've gotten stuff written. Okay. Okay. Oh, well, 12 starts over here. No wonder it didn't. Right. For the time, which is the word chronos, ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and you are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. Does that read to you like maybe one time they did reach the level of strong meat? I never had thought of that before this moment. But now they're back on milk? Huh? I just saw myself. For everyone that useth milk, is unskillful. That literally means in the Greek they have no experience. God told me in 87 when they asked me to minister to the counselors, faith ministers in churches, annual meeting. I was the first woman, actually. They regretted it, but anyway, praise be unto the Lord. But God told me, he said, my people are tired of reading books and watching testimonies and hearing about other people's experiences of answered prayer, of miracles, and da-da-da-da-da. He said they want to experience me for themselves. That's why they didn't like me, some of them. Some of them, it wasn't everybody. But it was one of the other bunch on the other side that told me that these over here didn't like me. Because they did not want to hear from the Spirit of God that they were not meeting the mark where they ought to be telling these people how to experience God. Come on now. I'm preaching, but you don't know who they are, and neither do I. So Brother Hagin taught us that if you don't say anybody's name, you're not really criticizing them. Hallelujah. He did. Oh, boy. He said,
you're unskillful
in the word of righteousness. You have no experience in that. For he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. You have nothing to fear about your age. Come on. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life. Can you shout him in? I think I'm a year or two older. Anyway, hallelujah. It's so good to be free. It's so good to finally get to that place you can accept yourself as God has made you. And you don't have to do a thing about what other people are doing, but just receive from them if they're giving out God's good stuff. Are y'all here with me tonight? Well, see, that only comes with full age. Kids are the ones that fight and scream and all that all the time. Whew. We've had enough kids in the church. It's time to grow up and bring another batch in. Moving along, he said, just keep your mouth shut. Okay. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. Okay. Even those who by reason of use. What is it? Reason of use. Does that say to you what it says to me? When you use the word of God, you're eating the strong meat. And then what does he say about it after that? Have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. God said discern and discernment are together. They're one absolute strong word for 2017. We've had enough of fake, pretend, and false. And listening and getting so confused about what we really have been taught. Come on. And the people that have really put the truth in us, And we're not going to another camp. Are y'all here with me tonight?
Amen.
We are not discern. We're going to discern. You know, if you've ever done it, you can look in somebody's eyes, because I asked God in 74, because I'd gotten into that Assemblies of God church in 69 by his direction. And 74, all of a sudden, it was some who were attending the church, but they weren't really, you know, the church itself was not exercising this discernment and this casting out of devils. And I said, Lord, how do you know somebody's got a devil? And he said, just look in their eyes. They don't have to tell me about anybody that appears on the television screen. I look at their eyes, and of course the face is corresponding. And I can know, I can read them like a book. That's called discern and discernment. And guess what? I would not watch any television that I did not have the control in my hand to turn off what I don't want to hear. Amen? Amen. Turn off what I don't talk about these movies. I'm talking about news medias. Come on now. I'm not going to listen to anybody that talks about our president. Do you know why? Because my word tells me to pray for those that are in authority. Amen? Come on now. Preaching good. Can you shout amen?
Yes.
See, we got to get that fun tuned. What was it? Something was said that, I'm going to just say it because it's public. You know, I love to go through the Atlanta airport and stop at Starbucks and get a cafe latte, decaf. But when somebody told me what they were saying and doing, I said, off of the list, no more Starbucks. And then they told me two or three others. I said, okay, off of the list. I don't have to go there. And if Christians would start boycotting these kind of places, they'd either get it right or get out of sight. Amen? So we got to get strong. You see, there's enough Christians in this nation to turn this world upside down. And we just did it. Come on. Yeah, we did. Authority, strength, and power is revealed in the way a person talks and the way they make decisions and the way they act. Come on now. That speaker of the house over there today, man alive. But, and, you know, we used to kind of go in, we'd wait around and da-da-da and of whatever's would be talking. But they have a speaker now, which is the head of the house. And they say, whoever, like me, I'm there, chaplain, to say the opening prayer, they call it an invocation. And I have to look that up in my Webster's to see what that means. But anyway, pray. And so they say they want you on the platform in that chair 5 minutes before 2. Because it's opening at 2. And he hits the gavel. Well, he didn't come in. I said, oh, he's going to be like, no, 1 minute till 2. He walked in. I tell you, the first time, I think it's this 9 times, I think Mike said, or 10 that I've been there, but he started it out in Oklahoma, and then it was the same way. That was about the second place of me going into America to do this, and I couldn't believe it. I was on this, you know, waiting to go up and open it up, and it was chaos. And I said, Lord, these men and women are making decisions for the state. They're passing laws for the state. None of that's going on now. It changed last November. But I didn't know it until I was there today. Come on. Are you here? You're going home. But it's, you know where it is? It's the head. Water runs downhill. John Osteen's right-hand man, Pastor Dearman, his dear friend, told me that years and years ago, Bobby Jean, you know, water runs downhill faster. And whatever is at the top is going to come on you. Okay? Unless you got your umbrella up. Hallelujah. See? And so anyway, where was I? But, oh, all, boy, I tell you, those reps, they were in their seats. And they were at their seats in their little desk between 5 minutes and 1 minute to one. I mean two. Because they knew he was coming in. 1 minute to one. What was that, Bobby Jean? I love it, you love it. Law, order, authority.
Yeah.
We've got to get the unction for the gumption to function. Bring this law, this order. What did I say? Divine order. Authority. Charismatics are the weakest part of the body as when it comes to authority. I was so blessed. I'm just going to tell y'all how blessed. But today, they were telling me on the way back to Lexington that a man, see, they were up in the balcony, and so the end of their row, some people, but the man at the end of the row, after, and it's, please, no. It says, no brownie points for Bobby Jean. But after I prayed, this man at the end said, wow. That's bringing glory to God. Amen. That's the anointing. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. And then they went ahead and, boy, you talk about being blessed with the wow. I was so blessed with this. They said, when I finished praying, that the one of the representatives down front did the sign of the cross on himself. He was Catholic, but he was in agreement with the prayer. Come on, can you shout him? Woo! Amen, saints. It's happening. We're not having to make it happen. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. In other words, what we've got to do is stay the filled of the overflowing of the Holy Ghost and get out of the way. And let God get in the way and do it, Julia. Isn't that right? That is absolutely right. Oh, it's wonderful. I'm having a good time, and I think Jack misled us all about the time. We'll get straightened out in just a minute. Unskillful, in the Greek, means have no experience, still a babe or carnal, non-speaking. Now, see, I would imagine and hope that everybody in this room can speak a word of truth against a fact. Do you know how many people have problems with speaking the truth when the fact don't look that way? That's children, because it's children, carnal is the word in Corinthians, non-speaking. If you're not speaking the word of God, I'm not speaking, or anybody else, then it amounts up to carnal. And we don't want to be carnal, right? Flesh stronger than spirit. It better not ever be that way. The flesh better not be stronger than the spirit man, right? And we have to feed that spirit man, don't we? Okay. And then skillful means full age, mature. And I put down here in parentheses, compare 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That's a chapter on love, saints. And that's another thing God is doing. You know what, though? January 13th, 1983, I was in Nashville, Tennessee for Charles Cowan. Do you know him? And so I'm ministering to him. And in the middle of the message, I heard, this 1983, he said, God says, the next revival will be a love revival. So you're timely. God just said that to me. You're right on time. Not too late, not too early. May your book get out to the multitudes, Jack, because I know you've come to know and to live in this. Hallelujah. I had it. I don't know where it is, quite frankly, now. but a little thing that my mother had written. And she had had a vision every time she prayed, and she wanted to know what did it mean. And she had seen in the vision certain things, and I said, that's the end time revival. End time revival. But the end time revival is going to be dependent on love. It may be like, you know, Jesus, when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, but they were unskilled in all of this, so they thought it was just thundering. Paul on the road, others thought it thundered. They didn't even hear it, right? And so God showed me that when I did the teaching, starting maybe it was 82, going into 83, on intercessory prayer. And Daniel, you know, is compare, let's, you know, do that right quick. Samuel was strength to tear a lion apart and eat from it. Daniel's was to go into the lion's den and to lay down and tell him to roll over and keep him warm. Right? See, but it was the anointing. So nobody, you know, nobody has the other one's anointing. We don't need to have that. Or y'all, here you go home. Okay? All right. Full age, perfect, or have a habit of perfection. What does that mean? That's Greek commentary. Have a habit of perfection. What does that mean, Bobby Jean? That means you're always pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And that you want to and you're quick to repent if you've said something or even thought something. You know, you have a habit. You know that's not right, so you're going to just do something about it, right? Okay. And then it means skilled in Philippians chapter 3, 30, 14, was just said. Guard, and then this is only a paragraph, but guard what you see, look at, and concentrate on. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 through 6. We don't war. What is it? I'd have to even turn it there. My mind is going in so many different directions. Oh, I thought that it may be. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, talking about the strongholds and so forth. Let's turn over there. I want to. Then I'm going to close with this, Pastor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then we'll see what God wants to do. 2 Corinthians 10. Oh, yeah, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. All right. God said to me, he told me how something becomes a stronghold in our minds. We let the thought stay there over and over and over and over. And to break a stronghold, you may have to ask God to help you, but you're not going to keep thinking on those things, right? And we've all experienced that. We still experience it because we're all growing. Amen? But let's see. Guard what you think, you speak, and you act on. Guard it. Actions. Possess courage, endurance, patience, perseverance. Have vital relationship. I cannot stress that enough. With God and examine all other relationships. See the glory. Isaiah 6. Love: Romans 5:5. Oh boy, I can't get on this next one. Jude 20:21. I love it. What is in your heart that you desire and you want to do? I'm probably going to stop right there. Because I was, again, I think it was Charles' church. I was ministering in Cowan. And, what did I just say? About to get off in the spirit. Oh, what do you want to do? Somehow we got on the subject coming over, and I told Mike and Joy about my mother. She's up there with the Lord, 2014, but mother had an anointing for communication, meaning she kept a little box of cards, and she would just send somebody a card, maybe write something on it. And the response of those people that were getting her cards, it came at the right moment with the right words, something they were going through, and so forth. That was my mother's anointing at work through that ministry. You see, some people may be cooking a pot of soup or something. Amen. It's just, we cannot not underestimate what we feel led to do and compare it to somebody else, because that's the same thing as telling God, you don't know what you're doing. I need more. I'm going somewhere else to get more. No, we're not. Amen. We're going to stay right with God. And we're going to have a relationship with God. And God, they already picked it up and teaching on it. And I'm going to do more because God definitely spoke it. You were there, I think, when God began to speak through me. Was it Wednesday night? He began to speak through me at Grace Main about family. And that literally you're a family by blood. Say, well, I heard in my back of my mind, I'm a detailed person. Well, what about those that are adopted? Well, when you're born, when you're adopted into a family, you're adopted into their bloodline. Because they take the name and everything, you know, da da da. But we are the family of God. And Jack, this is one of the things that I want from now on for the people to get. We are a family. And I don't know about you in Kentucky, but Georgia, they would say blood is stronger than water. That means you're going to take up for your family when you're not going to take up for water. Well, if the church can get a hold of this, we're the family of God. It says so many times, household of faith, Galatians 6:10, and on and on and on and on. And on. You know, even Ephesians 3 talks about the family, da-da-da-da-da, from Adam and Eve is a family, da-da-da. And it's all by the bloodline. Well, what does that mean? You love, dear sweet people, you love, sometimes you love people in the church that you're a family with, part of the family, more than you love your own flesh, bone, and blood. They don't understand you anymore, okay? And so you do that. But if the church will ever get that full revelation that you are a body of family, come on. That will stop this charismania running here and there. Can you shout amen? Amen. No. I said it by the Spirit Wednesday night. God is not one who does the work of an amputee or whatever. He's not an amputator. If he's put you as a hand in a local church, he's not going to cut your hand off in that church and send you over here. You're going to go with no hand if you do. Amen? Do you see what I'm saying? Well, I'm here, but whatever. Well, let me tell you whatever. Know where God wants you to be. Am I preaching bad or wrong? Know where you're wanting to be. So, well, there are cliques, you know. They never call. Well, doesn't that phone work two ways? Have you called them? I mean, see how simple this equation gets when we get it in divine order and in the authority of God? We're supposed to love one another. Amen? And believe me, sometimes I know that's not possible, except with God, all things are possible. Amen? But we love. You know, you love the family. And God loves us. Sometimes he hates the whatever. But he loves us. Amen? So we got to get to that point that we love people. I'm just going to have to tell you, get it out of my spirit. My oldest grandson lived with me about 5 years. I do believe in keeping every fingerprint off of the molding. I do believe in keeping the laundry done, the dishes washed, or this or that and the other. First time I came home, dishes, pots and pans everywhere on the shelves. If it was not even a, you couldn't see the shelf. I saved my clothes, Mamma, for you to launder, wash. Out there, all the clothes piled up. Come on. And I, you know, that was before I was as perfect as I am now. And I would take the vacuum cleaner. She actually took over downstairs, and which is underground kind of thing. You know, y'all have those homes. It's not the, I'm on the main level, but he's down there. But do you think he would take that vacuum cleaner and punch that thing and plug it in? But do you think I did? Yep. But as I said, I wasn't as perfected then. And I would just run that thing right up against his feet. Mad as a hornet. This went on for about 2 weeks. And I'd come in, come home off the road. You know, that's not the time to have everything in disorder, believe me. And you know what? God stopped me in my tracks. I was just fuming one day. And he stopped me in my tracks. He said, all I ask you to do is to love him. Shut up and love him. God has spoken. He knows I'm going to do what he says with the grace of God. So there became that time I just shut up and I did nothing but love him. Did the laundry, cleaned all the pots and pans and the dishes, whatever. Mm-mm. I did. After, I don't know what length of time, but I came home and said, Memo, I did all my laundry. All the cabinets were cleaned off, nothing on the stove. He had done that. And he said, I vacuumed for you upstairs. Did all that. What did it take, Bobby Jean? Me shutting up and loving him with the love of God. Are y'all here? You're going home. More to the story, but that's enough. Amen. Can we pray? You may want to. I don't know what I want to do. That's why I'm praying. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are so good to us. I tell you, we just cannot speak adequately of your greatness and your goodness, your kindness, your loving kindness, all that you are, oh God. And like our sister said, we do pray for many, many, many multitudes to be born again, to be saved, to come into the kingdom of God. And then the rest of it, of course, we pray that we would see the body of Christ maturing and becoming skillful in the things of yourself, Almighty God. That would we would experience you and know you for ourselves. That each and every one of us would not have to just sit and watch somebody telling about their testimonies of this and that and whatever. But we will have our own testimonies. And we praise you for that, Lord. Now, Lord, we've come this far. And it's been a glorious night. As far as I'm concerned, I've been so blessed. I could just say amen and sit down and go later. But I just want you to know that I'm yours, Lord. And whatever you want to do and whatever you want to happen from this moment until you say, see, amen. I am willing and I'm obedient. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.